You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning, Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network. Going to hear today Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny, and we recorded it last night, just so you know.
Welcome to my house.
Yeah, it's my house. Anyway, so the discussion has weighed on my mind. We're going to talk about the Afghanistan papers, and Jeff's going to lay out what the Pentagon Papers were to Vietnam. And so then you're going to hear a discussion about, well, who among us is surprised? Do we expect politicians to tell the truth? And so then we kind of stumble our way through Afghanistan stuff and Iraq stuff. And so... ultimately, what you get to is every one of the things that we've done, every decision we've been escorted to by the generals of the United States military and the admirals, don't want to leave them out, the flag officers. So anyway, how can that be, right? How can that be? How can we screw it up that bad? right? This is, you know, a reenactment of the sins of Vietnam, which we were supposed to be beyond. So it weighed on my mind, all right? It weighed on my mind, and so I thought about it overnight, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but so what crept into my head was, okay, so at what point, if you were a German officer, would you have resigned? If you would have said, I can't do this, right? Now, know this, that the propensity of military professionals is, right, what you hear is if it's not illegal, immoral, or unethical, then I would, you know, it's my job as a military professional. So the war in Iraq, illegal? No. Immoral? Maybe. Unethical? Probably not. Well, maybe unethical. But can you, and here's the conundrum of what we'll talk about. People always find a reason to stay. They've worked their whole life to get there. They don't want to, right? And you hear it over and over, and you're going to hear Jeff Kenney say it. You know, well, what's going to happen if I quit? Nothing. It changes nothing. I'm better off being in here, right? And so, yeah. And so I got to thinking about that last night. So if you were an officer in the German military, at what point do you quit? Right? At what point do you decide that it's that the army that you grew up in is no longer the army that you're serving in? That things have changed to the point, is it when you have to swear hold the flag of Nazi Germany, right? Which is a different flag from Germany previously, right? If you look at Germany's flags, you'll see the black, yellow, what, orange, and white of Germany, right, that you see today. That's not the flag, the red flag with the white circle and the swastika on it. Different flag, right, that you had to swear an oath to Hitler. Well, come on, he's making everybody do it. He's an idiot, you know, whatever. How about when you have to change the way you salute, right? From the traditional, you know, hand to the bill of your cover and down to the Heil Hitler salute. Now, you know, it's the setting the Versailles Treaty right. So the Sudetenland, the annexation of the Sudetenland. No, that's just, come on. Everybody knows that's right. All right. How about the invasion of Poland, the invasion of Czechoslovakia? No. Okay. How about the invasion of France? Oh, no. That's just setting things right with them. Right? So at what point, so you're a German military officer and you can justify the whole thing? How about when you see, right, the treatment of the Jews? Well, you know, that's, you know, he's got it in for them. So at what point in the extermination of 6 million people do you never say, hey, I've got a problem with this. I can't do this. So when would you, as a professional, and I think I'm going to ask Tim and Jeff that, or do you think you could have justified the whole thing and served to the end? Or would you simply have said, hey, this is my country, it's at war, you know, my job is to fight, and you would have blocked, you would have put all moral and all ethical considerations aside. So pretty interesting discussion, right? Pretty interesting discussion. And again, look at what's gone on in Iraq and it's bled over into Syria, the instability that's bled into Turkey. look at all that. I mean, that was fairly well contained, right? People living under a dictator, yeah, but at least they were alive, right? At least they were alive. So, what is the total estimate of civilian deaths in the Iraq War? Hold on, I've got to type that. That's long. Now, just know this. That I don't know how accurate any of these counts are. Documented civilian deaths from violence, 288,000 people. So that's one website. Here's another one, done by the BBC. Iraq study estimates war-related deaths at 461,000. About 500,000 people died in Iraq as a result of the war-related causes between the U.S.-led invasion in 2003 and mid-2011, an academic study suggests. That's 2011. All right. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. Is that immoral? Unethical? Might be. Who's got the right to do that? The United States, for what reason? That Iraq was such a threat to American interest? I mean, that was the neocon discussion and argument, right? And the vision, a different vision for the Middle East. Yeah, and so it was into that laboratory that everybody went, because that was their vision. So the question is, as you know, is in these military events around the world, why does it not seem like we can do it right? The bright shining, you know, example is Desert Storm. Right? Saddam Hussein lays down in the desert exactly how we have rehearsed for 20 years. The only guy stupid enough on the planet to do that. And he does. And there's no civilians around, literally. Kuwait City is way up north. Small villages, they get out of the way. Right? So it's like fighting in the Pacific in World War II. There's nobody else there except the combatants. So it's clean. Give us the resources. We'll go whack them. No civilian deaths. We get other people to pay for it. We come home. Perfect war. That's the cherry on top post-Vietnam. But if you look at Somalia, ends in Black Hawk Down because we screw it up, and then we leave Somalia. You look at Lebanon. Lebanon ends with the barracks in Beirut. And then we leave. So, it's like we constantly screw the application of force up. Why is that? Is that because of the lack of foresight and astute planners and thinkers among our general officers and their staffs? Is it the fact that we go places and put ourselves in situations that we probably shouldn't go and do? So anyway, we'll have that discussion today. But it got in my head and I thought, well, you know, a good example would be, you know, if you were a German officer, you know, what at what point do you say, I can't do this? I can't be a part of this. So anyway, so we'll talk about that today here on a Thursday edition. And it's a fairly long rendition of the Lynch and Kenny event. So the Lynch and Kenny event, yeah. So it's about an hour and 20 minutes. So anyway, if you like that segment, you'll love this. So anyway, good morning to you. And United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Dedicated to everybody out there that's struggling today. Had one of my guys reach out this morning and say, hey, I'm really fucked up. And so we had a conversation. It's never as black as you think, even though it's black where you can see. All right. So to everybody out there that's struggling today, it's never as black as you think it is. But it's black near you, and that's what you know. All right? So go for a run. Take a deep breath. And then blow it out. Get that venom out of you. Right? Raise your eyes to the sky and know that on the horizon, there's another day coming, and it's going to get better. Right? You just got to open your eyes and see it. Okay? And one of the things that this Marine was telling me was that, you know, he might not be able to re-enlist. And I said, okay. I said, do you know how much other services are paying relative to bonuses for NCOs? I hadn't thought about that. You might want to check that out. Yeah, go talk to prior service recruiters and see what kind of bonuses there are out there. You know, again, when doors close, windows, right, shed doors, garage doors, all kinds of doors roll open. Just gotta see them. So if you're struggling out there today, hang in there. Take a deep breath. Do all the things we tell you, talk about in wellness practices, right? Go for a run, right? Listen to music, play music, whatever takes you away, go do that. And just know this, in the long arc of your life, you're going to go through black spots. And in those black spots, right, just know that they're spots. As you get out of that spot, it gets gray, and then it gets light, and then it gets bright. So, if you're in one of those spots, it's dedicated to you, right? If you're struggling, it doesn't last forever, right? So do what you know to do. Right, keep your eyes focused on the horizon and your head down and keep going.
Oh. you're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that low paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda anytime you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather here. Cold on the East Coast, just so you know. It is mostly cloudy in 54, that's here in Costa Mesa. It is sunny in 36 in Quantico. Ah, 36. It is cold in North Carolina. Sunny in 48 at Camp Lejeune, 29 Palms, partly cloudy and 48. Camp Pendleton cold, partly sunny and 51. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 72, so they warmed up a little bit. They've got two weather warnings. And in Okinawa, it is dark, cloudy, 61, so Okinawa getting cold. Lashkar Gah in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, that's the subject of the next hour's discussion. It is really cold, dark, clear, and 48 degrees in the land of opium. In western Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, the provincial capital, it is dark, cloudy, and 59. Ramadi, the hot spot. Currently in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 54 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 69 today with partly sunny skies. And sunny and 68 tomorrow. Saturday, partly cloudy and 65. I stumbled over to say partly cloudy or partly sunny because all I had was a picture. And I'm never quite sure. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines here on a Thursday as we get going here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. And again, Tim Lynch has written a bit about the Afghan papers. And so in the next hour, in the Lynch and Kenny hour, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the migration from Vietnam, right? The conduct of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, as outlined in a book called Dereliction of Duty, what the Pentagon Papers were, and then this Afghanistan thing combined with Iraq and the Don Rumsfeld thing, and all of it escorted by the general officers of the American military. And so should, if you're surprised at what you read in the Afghan papers, then I think you probably need to listen to the next hour, because it's going to give you a recommendation about how you should view anything that speaks about a war that's going on, especially if they're either a politician or the appointee of a politician. So with that said, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
You know, the reading, as I sat through the break and kind of looked at things about about the German army, right? If you do a search on moral dilemma of Wehrmacht, right? Wehrmacht. That's the German army. There's a lot of interesting things to read about it, right? German military chaplains in World War II and their dilemma, right? The whole myth of a clean German army. So the narrative is that the SS, right, they were the killers, and the German army just fought. So there's that out there. Unjust War and a Soldier's Moral Dilemma. So there's all kinds of very, very interesting things to read about there. About, you know, the choices that military people make. Now, you know, to me, if you, again, read Dereliction of Duty. And read Dereliction of Duty and see and see what Americans who had to go to their graves knowing that they failed. And general officers, members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and whatnot. So, so you don't have to focus on the German army, but it's pretty interesting because the examples are so stark. So you compromise and compromise and compromise and compromise because, you know, what am I going to do? What effect does it have, you know? And then pretty soon you wake up and your nation's been defeated and you've exterminated 6 million people. What? Right. So it's a pretty interesting conversation to have. Anyway, the moral obligation of a leader. Headlines in Stars and Stripes. 5 years after his death. Yeah, listen to this. Korean War veteran awarded more than $720,000 in accrued benefits from the VA. How about that? Thomas Nielsen joined the Air Force when he was 17, promptly was sent to South Korea, where the war against Communist North was just getting underway. He served there from 1950 to 54. His real fight began when he returned home and fled and filed for military medical benefits for health problems he believed stemmed from severe dental issues and malnutrition during his service. 5 years after he died in 2014, at the age of 81, his family received more than $720,000 in retroactive benefits after the Department of Veterans Affairs ruled in his favor. His lawyer, Eric Gang, expressed frustration that Nielsen didn't receive the money before he died, but he said the family is very grateful. It has to be used to care for his widow, who has Alzheimer's disease and is in a nursing home. He was awarded $666,000 for 20 years of back pay, and his wife received $57,000 in widow's benefits. It's the largest award I've ever seen, said his attorney. The VA declined comment. Nielsen turned to Gang, his attorney, whose firm specializes in disability appeals for military veterans in 2012 after exhausting all administrative appeals via the VA. Gang was armed with journal entries in which the then airman complained about not being able to eat and weight loss while in South Korea. "Boy, am I in misery," Nielsen wrote in neat handwriting in 1952. "I had 6 teeth pulled this morning," he said. And he had gone into shock after the dentist pulled them without any Novocaine. Medical experts hired by Gang also examined Nielsen's service records and were able to prove the problems he described were symptoms of an autoimmune disease that hindered his ability to work and support his family. He died in 2014 in Tucson, Arizona. So anyway. Wow. The VA, there you have it. Australia is investing $715 million in Northern Port that hosts U.S. Navy warships. So the whole, rotational force Darwin is slowly but surely migrating into, a major hub of naval and marine activity in the southwestern Pacific. The House okays the defense spending bill authorizing the Space Force and expanding parental leave for federal workers. Expanding, what does expanding federal leave for federal workers have to do with the Department of Defense? Anyway, also in that bill, we talked about it yesterday, is supposedly a section that says that all services have to integrate their recruit training. And we talked about that. What does integration mean? Is integration what goes on at OCS currently? Then if that's the case, then no impact, in my opinion, no impact on the Marine Corps. Bill would give $250 million to local veteran offices to fight suicide. I could help with that. You want to do something that works? Yeah. Hello? Post-traumatic winning, maybe? Anybody? Bueller? Somebody out there? Four senators introduced a measure Wednesday that would give $250 million in federal funding over the next 5 years to local government employees responsible for helping veterans process claims for Department of Veteran Affairs benefits. Senators Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, Dan Sullivan from Alaska, John Tester from Montana, and Stephen Daines of Montana backed the bill as a method to combat veteran suicide. So helping to file claims is a way of combating suicide, okay? I guess if that's what you've identified the problems, then I guess as people have looked into the number of suicides, right, outside VA facilities, the frustration of veterans who aren't getting the care that they believe they should get, so there you have it. From USNI News. Navy RQ-4A surveillance drone suffers major damage in the Middle East. Okay. So, is that a big deal? Why are we writing articles about it? My computer's being slow, so just so you know. Acting SecNav Modley puts a 10-year clock in reaching a 355 ship Navy. Yeah, good luck with that one. A Navy surveillance drone suffered major damage during a takeoff attempt while operating in the Middle East. The service's 180 million RQ-4A broad area maritime surveillance demonstrator was attempting to take off from a runway in the U.S. Central Command was hit by a piece of debris on the left side. On November 26th, the mishap resulted in damage to the left side of the aircraft. No personnel were injured. No injuries were reported. Like, why is that a story? Slow news day? Slow news day, Mac. Come on. Don't you know anything about anything? Okay. Yeah, a drone got damaged in a CENTCOM AO. How many times has that happened? The story about gender integration is still atop Marine Corps Times, but nobody says what gender integration means. Somebody define it. What is it? What is it? Right? They're not going to sleep in the same squad base. So is it a female platoon inside of a male company? Right? It doesn't mean they have to be integrated in the same platoons, but they sleep in separate places. What does it mean? So. Right. Nobody knows right now. Top Pentagon leaders are considering leaving a smaller number of troops in Afghanistan. So this is Associated Press story. And, again, the moving target that seems to be Afghanistan and Syria, right, that moves relative to the president's Twitter account. The Pentagon is considering several options to reduce the number of troops in Afghanistan, including one that would shift to a narrower counterterrorism mission. General Martin Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, did not disclose any potential troop totals, but he agreed that leaving a minimal U.S. footprint in Afghanistan to battle terrorists is a potential move. So that supposes what? That supposes that somehow or other the Taliban and the Afghan government make peace and say, okay, and the Americans can stay and they can fight Al-Qaeda and ISIS here, right? Does that, what happens if that doesn't happen? So, again, it's, right, so he goes on. We have multiple options. That's one of them. The U.S. currently has about 13,000 troops in Afghanistan. Five of them are doing counterterrorism missions. The remainder are a broader part of the NATO mission to train, advise, and assist the whole by, with, and through the Afghan security forces. So members of they testify in front of the House Armed Service Committee. So they're increasingly put under pressure. Earlier this week, the Washington Post disclosed thousands of pages of documents revealing that government officials for years misled the public about failures in the Afghan war. Quote, the bottom line is that top military officials and civilian officials had known that the Afghanistan war was unwinnable and had been misleading the American public for 20 years. It can't be 20 years, just for the record. That's according to Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat of California. Representative Adam Smith, who's the committee chairman, said, I do think it's something that we should take a look at. According to the Secretary of Defense, quote, I'm interested in reducing our force presence and focusing on China and Russia. Okay. Good luck on getting out of there. And again, so we just go into Afghanistan, we make bad decisions, and like we did in Vietnam, we say, yeah, we've had enough, we're out. Yeah, so what's the problem with that, Mac? Huh? Really? You got a problem with that? Yeah, we should have never gone in there. After we hunted down Osama bin Laden, that should have been the end of it. Why we did what we did, I still don't rightly understand. Maybe someday somebody can explain it to me. How this made sense to anybody that we would go do this. All right, top five stories in early bird on my really, really slow computer. Don't hold that against me. Oh, I forgot to do shithole weather. While we're waiting for the early bird, from Chris. Shithole weather is expeditionary in Massachusetts today. Location, what? Summit Mountain. It says Summit MT, which is Summit, Montana, but that's not where he is. Summit Mountain? Oh, he's at the summit of Mount Wachusett. Elevation, 2,006 feet. The view is courtesy of the power of post-traumatic winning in our tribe. So there's a picture from the summit. Oh, Chris is skiing. Wow. His journey, man, from 500 pounds to less than 250, and he's going down, and now he's skiing. How about that? All right, 17 degrees right now. Wind-blown natural and man-made snow. Bright sunshine. Winter here is not even close to Saskatchewan or northwest Minnesota. Chris from Webster out. You know what? That's an awesome story. Chris's story is an amazing story. If you want to listen to his story, just do a search for search on Chris, and you'll see Chris Cox come up. And he talked about how to lose weight. He's a quality assurance guy. Right? How to keep a little log in your phone. Red numbers, green numbers, and black numbers. Black sideways, green is good, going down. Red is bad, going up. And that's how a quality assurance guy does it. And so I'm putting that to the test, by the way. And I even, listen to this, I thought, you know, well, you know, that's kind of interesting because he's a quality assurance guy, right? And that's how he does it. So I thought, well, you know, but also for me, one of the things I've learned in doing post-traumatic winning is the power of visual images, right? The power of being able to visualize this thing that I'm talking about. So I can, you know, I can talk to you about what it is to transcend it. But if I showed you this little plane going through a storm and then showed you the plane going through the clouds to the sun, that's the visual I want to get into your head. That's the place where you can go. Or if I put on a screen a graph that says, see this thing that you think is a hole? What happens if it's really a trampoline, right? And we turn that thing into a trampoline and it vaults your life to a place that you don't even know exists right now. What about that? Whoa. So anyway, what I did was, right, in my Christmas weight loss drive, right, I got some Jenga blocks. And I stacked, I'm not going to tell you how many I stacked. I stacked the number to correspond to a pound, right? And it's in my bathroom, Jenga blocks. And I wrote numbers on them. And so every day when I hit a new number, I can discard, like, the old number. And I take that number and I put it in the closet. So there's this thing that I see. And then every day, like now the highlight of my day is I do what Chris does, right? He said, you gotta get on the scale every day. So I get on the scale before I get in the shower and I look down and I'm like, yes! And I get to take another Jenga block and put it in the closet and the pile goes down. So anyway, powerful visual images, right? So anyway, top five stories in early bird. Number one, Pentagon orders review of vetting of international students in U.S. military programs. Now, we all know why this is going on. The question is this just a kerfuffle and the dirt thrown in the air, well, which will ultimately lead to nothing, right? Instructors at Pensacola requested to be armed. Okay. Is that outlandish? Military professionals, why would we be afraid of arming them? The Pentagon on Tuesday ordered a broad review of vetting procedures for international students who participate in training on U.S. military installations and demanded the process be strengthened in direct reaction to last week's deadly shooting. Okay, how? The memo signed by Deputy Defense Secretary David Norquist also suspends flight and other operational training for all Saudi Arabian students in U.S. military programs. It follows a decision by the U.S. Navy to halt flight training for more than 300 Saudi Arabian students at Pensacola Naval Air Station and two other bases in Florida. The FBI confirmed on Tuesday that the 21-year-old Saudi Air Force officer who killed three U.S. sailors and injured eight other people legally bought the 9mm Glock pistol he used. Investigators are digging into whether the second lieutenant acted alone amid reports that he hosted a party earlier in the week where he and others watched videos of mass shooting. The incident has raised questions about how well international military students are screened before coming to the United States. Norquist's memo says the review of the vetting must be completed within 10 days. And the flight restrictions will continue throughout the review and until they are lifted by senior leaders. The Navy's flight restrictions affected 140 students at Pensacola, 35 at nearby Whiting Field, another 128 at Mayport, Naval Air Station Mayport, on the Atlantic seaboard. So, that's where that is. Now, the question is, does anything come of it? Or at the end of the day, will it just be, you know, politicians doing what they do? And again, these are the same people that don't tell the truth about Afghanistan, right? So now, the white hot spotlight, right, just like base housing, right? So now they're going to stand up and they're going to say all the right things, and then as this thing fades to black, will anything change? Will anything change? All right, that's it. I've had enough of the news today. So we'll take a break. When we come back, you'll hear the Lynch and Kenny event. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net.